From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We will look at Neil's picks. Yes, Neil will celebrate the LA Dodgers, lifelong fan there over here.
Have I told you?
The St. Louis Cardinals last night with a walk-off in the ninth inning.
You know, Chris Turner is just such an amazing person. I was so happy for him last night to get to see him celebrate after all the adversity that he's been through, and it was special. It really was. It was great. Really happy for him. I was very sad for the Cardinals. Had a hard time kind of getting over it over the course of the day, but you know, they gave it a shot.
Justin Turner, but yeah, we'll get his name right since we're celebrating him.
Oh, is it Justin Turner? I meant him too. He's a great person.
Just a little bit of a misspeak since he's a lifelong fan.
Whatever.
Does the roster up and down over here.
I mean, I have cheered for the Dodgers for so long, and to see last night come to fruition was special.
So, yeah. Anyway, picks, Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joining us here this morning. Talk some Hogs and some Rebels after we do around Neil's picks, after Neil's picks, whatever we do there. And then also Ben Mintz, Barstool Sports, joining. He's in Vegas, right?
Ben's in Vegas. He's actually he was in Henderson, Nevada yesterday. We were talking.
He's been competing in the World Series of Poker this week.
He was actually leaving after our discussion to go compete more. So normally I would load the MPW digital pregame show this afternoon, but I'm talking to Pete at around 4 o'clock. So that's not going to be the case. So I'm tempted when we finish with hand raised guys tonight, while I'm just up, to just go ahead and knock it out and load it so that people will have it on Friday morning. Otherwise it's Friday at noon and you have less than 24 hours to consume it. It's just me trying to help the people.
Get it?
That's my thought.
Okay.
Luke says it was Chris Taylor. See?
Well, you said Chris Turner. So what was his name? Who hit it?
It's Chris Taylor.
Well, you said Chris Turner.
Well, I meant Chris Taylor. I'm so excited for all of the different Dodgers.
It was Chris Taylor.
You know, I mean, Justin Turner took a lot of heat last year for the whole COVID thingy.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see him get vindicated. And then his good friend, Chris Taylor, to see him hit that home run after all the things that he and his family have been through over the last year, it was just great to see. What an emotional moment.
Oh, okay.
I mean, everyone knows about just the horror that has been the last year for the Taylor family. And it's great.
Redeeming moment last
year. Oh, it really was.
Yeah.
His old Uncle Andy would sure be proud.
I have nothing. Blue Sky, Oxford, Highway 6 West. Remember to go out front, go to the gas station, go inside. I guess it doesn't even matter. If you're on the premises, take a selfie, then put it on social media, at Oxford Exxon, hashtag Blue Sky Rebels. That enters you automatically into a chance to win an authentic Ole Miss football helmet, giving a lot of those away this season. So do that. Again, follow Oxford Exxon, selfie, tag it, hashtag Blue Sky Rebels there at the Oxford Exxon. Lunch special is $5.69 when you're coming in town this weekend. Why don't you download the SpeedPass Plus app? That'll allow you to earn points and save money there with the Oxford Exxon and all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. And the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. And let's hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. Guests, including Tom Murphy, including Ben Mintz, they join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford, probably a great place this weekend. People starting to roll in today, actually, for Arkansas and Ole Miss on Saturday. So you have all day tomorrow. Should be great weather. Maybe you're going to the Grove. Maybe you're not going to the Grove. Whatever the case may be, Ole Miss is at 11, which means that, assuming it's not one of those seven overtime games that sometimes happen when these two teams play, be over by three. You'll be hungry. Head over to Rafters. Enjoy their great beer selection, full bar, burgers, po' boys, appetizers, the whole deal. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford, Rafters New Albany, and then Rafters on the Water at Sardis.
Yeah, so just wrapping up that, Dodgers win 3-1 last night on that walk-off. They advanced to face the Giants, and from a straight win standpoint, it's got to be the most anticipated NLDS series.
Yeah, I mean, I think, all jokes aside, everybody wanted to see the series, and we're going to get it, and it's going to be – I'm kind of looking forward to this one just from a baseball standpoint. Dodgers, Giants, two teams that both won – I mean, they've now both won 107 games.
Yeah. Somebody's not going to the NLCS.
Shoo.
It feels like the World Series participant is playing in series right now because Atlanta or Milwaukee would have its hands full.
I would think so, but sometimes those teams get worn out.
And then dealing with each other.
Yeah, and then, you know, you sneak up and get them. Bobby says, in Virginia now, driving from West Virginia to Oxford, just finished building a stadium seating and a massive jumbotron for a new Barstool Sportsbook in West Virginia. Barstool, I got to give them credit. They are relentless.
Doing stuff now.
They are absolutely relentless. And I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah, every day something.
Go get it, baby.
So,
like if I were a younger guy, I'd see how I could connect to that.
Ben's cashed once, at least twice in the World Series of Poker.
I think so. Yeah.
Been all right.
Yeah. He you'll hear it in a little bit. I think he went there with some of his bosses thinking that the WSOP was going to be deemed irrelevant by people, and it's not. People like it. People like watching poker.
It's not the worst TV product in the world. I mean, now look, we're not in the big boom of the Chris Moneymaker days back in like 03, 04, whenever that was, and everything really blew up. But I mean, again, I'm not going to sit there for hours and watch it, but it's not the worst thing from a television sport at all, so...
Yeah.
Since they invented the ability to see what cards people have during the hand, obviously.
Right.
That's the game changer.
Because you can kind of play along.
Yeah, you could go, oh, well, he's bluffing. He's doing this.
Right, right.
Yeah, you start whatever. Because, I mean, back in 2003, everybody thought they were a poker savant after it started getting on ESPN and Moneymaker won and did the whole deal. Somewhat because the guy's name was Moneymaker and he won the main event of the World Series of Poker. But anyway, yeah, we'll hear from Mintz here in a little bit. We'll go through the picks. Those are on the front at rebelgrove.com right now. They are up and at it. A little bit of news. I guess David was the first one to report. I'm not even sure. Caleb Warren appears to be out this weekend. Now, that is not from any official source because Ole Miss will not comment on injuries. However, the tremendous scuttlebutt is that the Ole Miss offensive lineman has an ankle injury. I know that he was on crutches yesterday in class or on campus or whatever it was he was doing yesterday. So his availability appears to be suboptimal, as Rippy would say, for Saturday against Arkansas. We'll see moving forward.
I don't know whether I was first to report it or not. I don't have any idea. Jerry and Ely with a concussion was in concussion protocol middle of the week.
Yeah.
Don't know whether he's available. I don't know.
So
I would guess, and this is, I promise, a guess. I would guess that he is not available. But I don't know that.
Will that simply be a Parrish Snoop show, or does Bullock potentially get some semblance of carry into that?
I don't know. Look, I do have some concerns about Ole Miss's ability to run the ball. And as you were saying before we got started, I don't want to take credit for something I didn't say. Caleb Warren's one of their better run blockers.
Yeah, he's kind of a road grader in the run game. Now, his struggle has been pass protection at any point, but he's a damn good run blocker.
So who steps in for him?
I don't know. My guess is maybe Jordan Rhodes, who transferred in from South Carolina as a grad transfer.
But he's more of a guard, isn't he?
Well, Caleb Warren's a guard.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's right.
Cedric Melton, maybe.
Melton's played more tackle.
But he's played both. Remember that they messed with him early in camp, moved him over and moved him back, and they've done some different things. I mean, it's a problem because, I mean, I don't have it in front of me. They've only played six offensive linemen to any degree this season. It's the five starters and then Bryce Ramsey, who's mostly been at center. He came in for Ben Brown a little bit too. So I guess he could be the starter, but I mean this is not ideal for Ole Miss. That was a spot where it's not as bad as losing a tackle, but it ain't good. So
no, it's not good. And they've struggled guard center guard to produce holes.
That's been one of the problems.
It's been an issue.
I still think it's one of the key things that happened in that first series that we've talked about ad nauseum against Alabama is their ability to run the ball into the end zone when they get close to the goal line, because it's just tighter. The spread formation stuff doesn't work as well in the pass game close to the goal line. I mean, that's a fact by this point. So,
sure.
Can you run it in? Can you do those things? Can you control the line of scrimmage? It's a pretty good Arkansas front. So,
it's an Arkansas front that wants to play. They want to just play three.
Yeah.
Gives them so many options when they can stop the run with three,
mm-hmm.
when they can get past pressure with three. It lets Odom do so many of the things Odom wants to do.
Yeah.
When they can't, like last week, and you have to kind of get out of your plan, it's problematic for them. That's why this is such a fascinating matchup, you know? I mean, everyone's so hung up on what happened last week. And the truth is, neither one of these teams can do to the other team what those teams did a week ago. Like, you know, Ole Miss people are doing the whole, well, I mean, Georgia shut down their – okay, yeah, but you don't have Georgia's defense. And then Arkansas people are like, well, look at what Alabama did again, and you don't have Alabama's talent. It's a totally different thing. Like people say, oh, Alabama moved the ball at will against Ole Miss. Like, yeah, but you don't have Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that aspect of your offense. Yeah, you've got backs that are really good. I mean, they have some talented running backs. I'm looking for the kid's name. Traylon Smith. They have two Traylons. That's what confuses you. Traylon Smith's a very good back. Jefferson's a very good runner. Sanders can be an electric runner. And then they'll bring Johnson in, and he's getting 6.8 yards a carry. I mean, they can run the football, but, you know, if you get them behind the sticks, they're almost hapless. Like, you get Ole Miss behind the sticks, and Corral can save you.
He can throw you out of it.
Yeah. You know, they get behind the sticks, and it's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because they got behind the sticks against Georgia early, and it was tough to watch.
Yeah. Well, because they weren't even kind of trying. It was like these little swing passes on 3rd and 18. You're going, oh, God, like just getting somebody killed out there. So, anyway.
Yeah, they don't have a – well, look, against Georgia, and this might apply to anybody.
Yeah.
You get 3rd and 18.
Yes.
My suggestion
is – Run a draw
and punt.
Yeah. Number 6, Oklahoma, -3.5. Number 21, Texas, the Cotton Bowl, Dallas, 11 a.m., ABC. And this probably means Texas is about to win a football game because we're all unanimous. We have Oklahoma winning this game. And I guess we all have them covering. We do. We have Oklahoma covering against Texas anywhere from, I don't know, 40 to 31 to 27 to 23. It's kind of the outliers of the scores there. So, sure. I went into it kind of like last week. I've been doing this a lot the last couple weeks, and, I mean, I'm sucking at games this year, so it's not like it's some proven method. I like watching the game with the thing I'm not going to get upset about, and I would like to pull for Oklahoma on Saturday against Texas. I think that they did look a little better against Kansas State.
They did.
Their offense seemed more on track, if you will, during that game.
They look like they figured out some things up front.
And Texas defensively can kind of suck at times. Now, Texas has gotten better on offense with that quarterback, but
yeah.
it feels like Oklahoma is not respected quite enough that at some point they do put it together and score a lot of points.
Makes sense. Hopefully
that's on Saturday. We mentioned it, number 13, Arkansas +6 versus number 17, Ole Miss, 11 a.m. ESPN. Everybody, let's see, Arkansas covering for Jeffrey. Neil and Zach has Ole Miss covering, and I have Arkansas winning outright. The Caleb Warren situation is a big deal to me. I think it's maybe even bigger than
most
people are going to.
I made my pick pre-Warren.
Yeah. You could have gone and changed it.
I could.
You get the last look.
I don't like to do that. I think that gives me a very unfair advantage.
Okay. I don't really even know why. I just have a weird line of scrimmage feeling about this game. Ole Miss... not even necessarily their lack of or stubbornness or anything. I don't think that's what it was. Their maybe inability to go to a fourth down lineman at times because I don't know who it would be. Just a personnel issue maybe. I think this is such a fascinating game from both these two teams getting popped last week after playing really well the rest of the season. However, We don't really know what either one of them still are. I mean, I was talking to Andrew Hutchinson of the Arkansas Rival site yesterday, and I said, it's interesting that you get to week five, and I feel like this is the first time we get the true litmus test for both teams, and it's this deep into the season, on exactly what they are. I mean, Arkansas has the big win over Texas. I get some of those things. Yeah. But at the same time, this feels like a huge swing game moving forward the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, for Arkansas, it's kind of an interesting spot, right? It's their third road game in a row. They went to Arlington. I know everybody goes neutral site, but you still had to travel.
Sure.
They go to Athens, and now they have to come to Oxford. So you wonder if there's a little road fatigue. I do, at least. They got popped last week. Mm-hmm. I think they expected to get popped. Mm-hmm. I don't think their emotional part is as much of a challenge as it is for Ole Miss.
Sure.
I could be wrong. Things I think based on things I hear. I think their coaching staff felt like Georgia was essentially an unwinnable game unless Georgia just played an atrocious football game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they knew quickly that it was over. I think they turned the page. I think by the time they got on the bus, it was done. I think for Ole Miss, it was a little more difficult emotionally. I think they felt like they were going to win. They got pretty hyped up all week like they were going to win, and I think it was sobering. And now you've got some injuries. I'm with you. Look, here's the thing. Ole Miss has Matt Corral, and Ole Miss has home field. And I don't think Arkansas can just line up and do to Ole Miss what it did a year ago. But I'm with you, and Jeffrey and I talked about this yesterday too. I do think there are some line of scrimmage issues that Ole Miss simply must overcome. And for whatever reason, I kind of anticipate that they're going to figure it out. I've seen people talking about this being a blowout, and I'm like, man, I don't see how Ole Miss beats Arkansas by 24 plus points. I just don't see that. But I do think Ole Miss pulls away late and wins. But yeah, look, the line of scrimmage is an issue, and if you can't control it a little bit, it's got the makings of a long day, and the whole Jefferson can't throw at all thing. It's just not accurate.
His deep ball is actually pretty good. I mean, it's the short and intermediate stuff that he kind of sucks at times.
He's 54 of 91, which is not a great completion percentage at all. 909 yards, 6 TDs, 2 picks. He's a pedestrian quarterback. That does not make him a bad quarterback, but he will hurt you with his feet if you allow him to. He's getting 6 yards a carry, and he's carried 40 times. So you throw in the sack yards and stuff that he's endured.
And he's having 8-9 yards of carry.
It tells you what kind of a runner he is. So you have to neutralize the line of scrimmage against Arkansas, or else you're in for a long day. Look at Texas A&M. Look at Texas.
Right.
If you go back and look at those two games, no matter what you think of those teams, Arkansas won the line of scrimmage. Now, Georgia dominated the line of scrimmage.
But it's Georgia.
That's Georgia. So you've got to get somewhere in between those two things.
Yeah.
Ole Miss can't do to Arkansas what Georgia did to Arkansas. Frankly, nobody other than maybe Alabama can do what,
and maybe not.
And maybe not even them. But you have to get them behind the sticks a little bit. You can't let Arkansas live in 2nd and 4,
yeah.
3rd and 2.
They're just gonna lean on you all day.
They'll lean on you all day, and then you'll do what Texas A&M did, what Texas did, and you start slipping somebody up, and that's where Burks hurts you because he's such a good receiver.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We'll have the MPW Digital pregame show up in the next 24 hours or so. It's brought to you by Walk-On Sports Bistro. They put everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine like po' boys, gumbo, voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers and fresh salads, quality fresh ingredients you can't help but crave. Coming soon in November, it's Walk-On Sports Bistro at 1737B University Avenue. The one in Ridgeland has already opened. It's at 720 Highland Colony Parkway in Ridgeland. Walk-On's Sports Bistro, more than a restaurant. We're also brought to you by Brothrow. It's a social sports betting network. It's free to use. It's a really cool, fun way to bet. No third party, so there's no juice. Over time, that saves you money. You can start your own group, make friends, and invite your friends. Payment happens within 24 hours of the conclusion of your bet. You can take the other side of an existing bet, start a new bet, and more. Sign up today at bet.brothrow.com/MPW. There was a thread on the board about Muddy Water Camo. That's a fantastic product. I'm not even a hunter, and I like the product. Go enter promo code Rebel Grove at checkout at muddywateroutdoors.com. Get 35% off any products on the site. Free shipping on orders of $100 or more. There's lots of new products. There's the new Muddy Water Lady Camo apparel that's there as well. It's almost time for those Tri-Zone heated vests and jackets. So, again, go to muddywateroutdoors.com. Promo code Rebel Grove for 35% off. Then use the same promo code Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your entire order at Dead Soxy, deadsoxy.com. The best socks you'll ever put on your feet. The no-shows are fantastic. And here, as we get into the cooler weather, you want those traditional socks, but you want them to be, you want to be fashionable. And they are. They have all sorts of styles, colors, themes, everything. And you'll never have to bend down and pull your sock up. They stay up. They're fantastic. You'll love them. Again, deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com. The Grove opened this weekend. Arkansas headed to town. LSU coming in 2 weeks. 3 games in November. So it's still plenty of time to go to 7southtailgating.com. Get in touch with Kyle Thornton, 662-321-1682. Single game packages, multi-game packages. Unloading assistance, food, beverage, delivery on game day, everything. They provide the equipment, secure the spot. Whatever you need, they can do at 7southtailgating.com. And then speaking of the Grove, you want to make sure that you're ready to roll. You're out Friday night. Maybe you have a little bit. You're going to get up on Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. kick. I highly recommend Game Changer Patch Company. It's the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before while you drink. Overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for the next play. Go to GameChangerPatch.com, enter the promo code RebelGrove20, RebelGrove20 at checkout for 25% off your purchase.
Podcast also brought to you by Visit Oxford, visitoxfordms.com. Tunes Around Town returning tomorrow night, 5 to 7 o'clock there on the square. You've got Alice Hansen and Walt Busby at the Atrium by the Growler. You got Brian and Kelly at North Lamar Pocket Park. That's kind of next to Volta. And then at Spring Street Cigar, Bob Ray. That's 5 to 7 tomorrow. Again, get dessert, get some carry out, and check out some local artists here in the Oxford area downtown. And then Double Acre Bus Tours, 3 and 4 o'clock tomorrow. They're leaving from the Visit Oxford office just off the square. I remember an adult ticket gives you $100 off a pair of Blue Delta jeans. So for that and all the events going on, visit oxfordms.com/events. South Carolina plus 10 at Tennessee, 11 a.m. ESPN2 on Saturday.
Feels like easy money. Which makes you think it's a trap.
Yeah, there's a couple times this. I tried to fight the trap a couple times this week, mm-hmm. and I'm either going to get completely bitten by it or whatever. We'll see. But this is not one, because I think Tennessee can run on South Carolina. I think they can overwhelm the Gamecocks, even athletically. I mean, Tennessee has better athletes than South Carolina. They're the better team.
Do you see the uniforms they're wearing?
I have not, no.
They're wearing black tops.
Tennessee?
Yep.
Okay.
With orange letters. Yep. Black pants with orange stripes. A white helmet. Is what white helmet?
Their normal helmet.
But it's got the black striping on it with the orange. I wanted to hate it, and I caught myself kind of liking it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll pull it up.
I want to see it.
In action?
In action.
But it's okay?
The kids, I watched the reveal. They brought one of the players in with the uniform on after practice, and the kids went nuts.
I mean.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, right? I mean, you want the kids to get jacked up about what they're wearing.
Oh, I'm seeing this. Dark mode. I mean.
I know I shouldn't like it. It's not anything that I would typically like, and I caught myself kind of going, yeah, it's kind of cool. I know. See? You want to hate it, and you
can't. Even the helmet's kind of nice.
I know.
It's
you want to hate it, and it's hard to hate for whatever reason.
It actually looks good.
I know.
It looks good.
I know. I did this.
They didn't screw it up because it didn't need to be like the traditional black jersey. It needed to be kind of ops, like don't mm-hmm. put white borders and things. Right. No, we're going.
Yeah.
That's good.
I know.
It's good.
I wanted to hate it because I like to pick on Tennessee, and I was like, yeah, they did it the right way, and they did the reveal to the players the right way.
Nike did a good job.
Yeah.
Nike did a nice job. If Tennessee was still with Adidas, they would not have that jersey today.
No, there's no doubt.
It would look terrible.
There's no doubt.
Something would be off on that thing. It would have a lot of white and maybe some purple or something.
Nike has improved their uniforms.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So, look, Shane Beamer's done a nice job keeping his team together. I mean, those good kids in Columbia covered last week.
They did.
I mean, just skin of teeth, figured that thing out. Mm-hmm. They've been fine. They've played completely to their talent level so far this season. But at some point, you run into better teams, and this is one of those times. Jeffrey said it even in a group text this week before he wrote it down this week. We want Tennessee to suck, and they're not good, but they're better than we give them credit for being. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're yeah. above average. They're
I enjoy okay. them sucking.
Yeah, it was fun for them to suck. But
it appears that they're just kind of average.
Yeah. Vanderbilt at Florida, 39 the line on this one, 11 a.m. SEC Network. I just have a rule where I don't lay 39 points in league games.
Well, I'm saying
even
way.
No matter who
Too
it
many.
Is.
Too many.
And Florida's so schizophrenic, I don't know what we're getting. I mean, I think Dan Mullen will try to run it up. I think he will try to cover. I think he'll try to get any type of confidence he can in his team, even though Vanderbilt's on the other side. However, in saying that, I mean, if Vanderbilt scores 14 points.
Right. Even 10.
It makes this really complicated.
Because if they get 10, you've got to get to 50.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Mullen's not going to start thinking, hey, we've got LSU next week. A real winnable game.
Yeah.
A game that before the season you were like, hey, it's a toss-up. And now you're like, I don't know. Let's go get this one. Like Florida's next part of their schedule, LSU open date, Georgia. Come on. You gotta turn the page from Vanderbilt if you're up 31 points in the third quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, so congratulations to Vanderbilt on beating UConn last week, but that's where this thing is between the Gators and the Doors. Number 2, Georgia, minus 14 at number 18, Auburn, 230, CBS on the Plains at Jordan-Hare. We just take Georgia to cover games.
Yes.
That's
not personal against Auburn at all. I mean,
and there's no greater insight. I just take Georgia to cover.
Yep. No, Auburn played really well the other night. And
Bo Nix had a cool game.
He was great. Yeah. But kudos to him. I'm with you. Like, here's your gold star.
But buckle up.
But I know what I saw last week. I mean... They made Arkansas, if you had just watched that game, and that's the only game you saw, and someone said, so what do you think? You'd be like, so Arkansas's like really bad, huh?
Chad Morris still there?
Yeah. What was Chad Morris trying to run? I don't know that anyone can beat them, and I'm almost positive that no one not named Alabama can beat them.
Like I said, they're a python. They're so fast.
They're a fast python with fangs.
Like a python black racer mix. They're like,
yeah, with some cobra in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Georgia, whatever. I mean, I have Auburn scoring 16 points, and that might be too many. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I do think some people will score on Georgia a little bit, but I'd hate to get them too many. Like, Zach got them all the way up to 20, and I went, oh, no, that's gonna be a tall ask.
Yeah. That's a lot.
To get to 20 in this thing.
Auburn is balanced. They can run it.
They can.
But, boy.
North Texas plus 20.5 at Mizzou, 3 p.m. SEC Network.
I think this is one you got right. I think you're going to gain a game here. But my problem is that I actually watched some of Mizzou last week.
Uh-huh.
And when you say their run defense is bad, that's – their run defense is so bad that it makes some of Wesley McGriff's run defenses look competent.
Missouri has allowed 348 rushing yards per game over its last four, including 294 on the ground to Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah.
As I said in my thing, DeAndre Toney is the running back at North Texas. He actually put up like 119 against La Tech last week. Yeah. Pick him up in some fantasy this week. He's going to have a day.
I'm told that he arrived in Columbia on Tuesday.
Yeah. Just get ready.
He's been dressed in his uniform since Wednesday morning.
Now, look, the Mean Greens suck. They're bad.
I understand.
SMU blew them out.
Yeah.
They got beat by La Tech.
But SMU would blow out Missouri.
That's probably true.
And I think Louisiana Tech would beat Missouri.
Yeah. Defensively, North Texas is awful. They don't cover the pass. So I think Connor's going to have a big day, and we're going to – going to push the ball down the field, and Elijah's going to get a little healthy and outscore them a lot, but still cover the game is my – I mean, if you told me it's even 55-31 or something, I would probably buy it.
Rakestraw tore his ACL for Mizzou. He's out, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I have Mizzou covering. Zach has North Texas covering. Jeffrey has North Texas covering, and you have North Texas covering. So
yeah, I'm
the only one.
I just can't. I mean, I'm not sure North Texas can't score 30 something points.
Number 4 Penn State, number 3 Iowa, +3 the Nittany Lions are getting on the road there in Iowa City. It's a 3 p.m. game on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Neil being a homer, picking the Hawkeyes 28-24. I've got Penn State winning. Jeffrey has Penn State winning. Zach has Penn State covering, Iowa winning. Which
y'all are, for whatever reason, all haters. This game's at home in God's country.
If I say I've probably missed one, this feels like the one I'm most likely to miss, frankly. Iowa at times, look, they are not explosive offensively, but they can move it a little bit. It's not not plodding along.
Ask Maryland about it.
Okay, well. Now, if that's your reasoning for picking them, we have a problem, but sure.
Be a good game. It's a shame that we look at this game and go, it doesn't matter.
Look, it would be huge for the Iowa program, and they would take it right now if offered. But if they kind of keep this up and stay hot, just the way the matchup is, I would feel really badly for them having to play Georgia in a first game in the playoff.
Awful.
They would just be suffocating. I mean, just clenched down and unable to do anything.
It might look like the Arkansas game.
Yeah, where they're not explosive enough to hit anything,
right.
And you're just stuck. And you're not going to out-physical Georgia at the line of scrimmage, and it's a problem. But I'm pumped for the game. Sounds fun. It's gonna be fun.
Oh, imagine how big this game would be if Georgia and Alabama were just sort of mortal good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would have real ramifications. We would be diving into it. Instead, it's like, this is for the right to get mauled in a semifinal.
Yeah. This is one where I'm probably being stupid. LSU +3.5 at number 16 Kentucky, 6:30 SEC Network. I know Kentucky enough that getting up back to back weeks, not having a little bit of a letdown, they get really pedestrian on offense at times. It bothers
me. They do.
I just think LSU wins this football game. It's just a feeling, but I think we have a chaotic college football season, and this adds to it. I've not thought the whole time that LSU was going to go on some just complete lose out for 6 weeks thing, and I think if that's the case, this is one they find a way to get in Lexington.
It could happen. I just don't see it. I think LSU is in the midst of an implosion.
I'm the only one picking LSU at all. Everybody has Kentucky covering this fairly comfortably. If you'd like to read an essay about Texas A&M football, it's in the caption of Neil's picks under the picture of the two A&M people there in the stands.
Yeah.
And they're matching 12 jerseys.
Hers looks better than his does.
It is a nicer jersey.
Yeah.
I haven't read the whole thing, but yes. Alabama -17.5, A&M, CBS.
Lay them.
I mean, just
– Just sure. Lay them. Put them down.
They can't score.
No, and Alabama will take offense to this being on CBS at 7 o'clock.
Hang on, what?
Alabama will be offended that this is being considered a primetime game.
Because A&M's not good enough to make it a primetime game?
Yeah, because A&M doesn't belong there, and they'll show them.
That's what Nick's going to find this week.
No doubt. People targeted this in the summer, and they said this was the game that you guys would lose.
The game of the year.
Game of the year. So let's go show people just how bad college football is right now. Here we go. Let's go.
Why is the college football world just now spreading a bunch of Yale leader videos? We've known about this for a long time. This is not some new occurrence that what Midnight Yale and all this stuff looks like. Why has it gained so much traction over the last 5 days?
I think people are finally starting to look at it and go, oh, my God.
Well, duh.
But, I mean, that guy.
They've been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah, I know, but I think they have a reputation for being really nice.
Okay.
And so I think people go, oh, you know, those nice. And then you listen to it and you're like, wait. People came to the stadium at midnight on a Friday night to listen to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got college kids. There's not a chance in hell. And they do it week after week. Is it a requirement? Do you have to go?
Get class credit for it or something?
I mean, I do wonder, like, are you volunteering to spend your Friday midnight doing that?
It's like they leave the bars and go.
I mean, the Yell Leader guy looks like he's never had anything more than whole milk. Not that there's anything wrong with whole milk. And they're back in the back with their arms around each other, and it's just...
The hand signals are all over the internet. You can find those and see what they mean if you'd like.
I did ask which one is the hand signal for, okay, go ahead and drink the Kool-Aid now. It's you'll fall asleep peacefully.
It's a golf meme to always go, this is such a normal sport, being joking because it's not a normal sport at all. It's a sarcastic thing. That would be the epitome of like bringing the aliens down and going, this is the most popular thing in America. And you go, hold on, what the... What is this?
I mean, you keep expecting like Kim Jong-un to walk in and go, thank you, my servant. There's no other explanation. Like if this happened in North Korea, you'd be like, bless their hearts. They have no choice. If they don't do it, they get shot. Yeah. This is Texas. Bad look.
I can't. It's making you almost appreciate the University of Texas a little more.
It has, actually. Yeah. It's made me more of a long-term.
Okay, guys. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Like when Texas moves into the league and they play A&M, I'm going to be Team Texas. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Because the A&M thing is just creepy.
All right. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. The Ignite 100 Mbps or the Blaze, the one gig that powers the Clarkport studio, your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, NESpark.com, 662-238-3159, phone service, parental controls, network security, a wireless mesh extender that you probably don't even need, but you can call the office for details and find out more for the best internet around. Again, it's 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by Clay McNutt, ACS in Baldwin, Mississippi. Automation Control Systems, LLC, complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. ACS has a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop. They can custom tailor software packages, custom design electrical control panel solutions, and much more. To learn more about ACS, go to acsllcms.com or call 662-601-4381. Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson, Mississippi, services the entire state and all commercial asset classes such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam Cox and B.B. Mitchell are Ole Miss graduates. They utilize their unique skill sets to execute on assignments and increase value for their clients. This week's property spotlight is on the Village at Madison. It will feature roughly 60,000 square feet of restaurant, retail, medical, and professional office space, along with roughly 75 lot line residences, with Pinpoint handling the leasing for the commercial portion of the development. It's located on the corner of Madison Parkway and Main Street in Madison. Cobblestone streets, iron railings, gas lighting will serve as signature elements for the development. To learn more, give Sam or BB a call, 601-586-3220. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Broad denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Go to their website. Go to the virtual tailor, and you can be measured and design your newest jeans in just a couple minutes. And Blue Delta will make sure that you're looking good for the first kick of the football season in September. Promo code Rebel Grove. Check out. We're also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry in Oxford. Lamons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford has been serving the Oxford area for 73 years, from engagement rings to wedding rings to fine jewelry, watches, pearls, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more. Lamons is the gold standard and fine jewelry. Visit them at lamonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. We'll have hand raised guys tonight. That's brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer at 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, at 662-429-4429.
Podcast is brought to you by Nick's Tan & Associates. That's nickstanoxford.com, 662-281-1200. O'Keefe Graham, Clay DeWeese, and their team of associates will help you on the buy side or the sell side here in the Oxford area. So use them for all your real estate needs. Again, they sponsor my 321 football content item and more. You can click the link in the signature on the message board of mine or from that content item. So again, that's nickstanoxford.com. Go to the website, see all the different ways that they can help you. Register on the site and tell them Rebel Grove sent you. 662-281-1200. Now we'll go to the Raptors Music and Food Hotline, and we'll start with Ben Mintz from Barstool Sports. Is that okay, Neil?
Sure. Matter?
Okay. Ben Mintz, Barstool Sports, coming up here on the Oxford Exxon Podcast and the Raptors Music and Food Hotline.
Ben Mintz, back with us from Barstool Sports, in Las Vegas today, as he finds us. He's been at the World Series of Poker, still out there this week. Ben, good to talk to you. How you been?
I'm doing good. Honestly, Neil, last weekend, when sometimes they say, you know, whenever nothing can go right, that was last weekend, just across the board. I got smoked in gambling. We all saw what happened in that first half in Tuscaloosa. I'm a big Saints fan. They blew a 21-10 lead in the fourth. It was just one of those weeks where I was glad to just say the hell with it on Sunday night and fly to Vegas. I got to fly to Vegas Sunday and just get a fresh start this week because – I've been having a great football season. Obviously, Ole Miss have been doing well. Saints have been doing well. I'd won money gambling every weekend until last weekend, and then I just oof. But, you know, new week ahead, and that's part of the deal.
Let's dive right into this one because there's not a lot to say about Ole Miss Alabama. There's not a lot to say about Georgia Arkansas and the two teams that kind of took it on the chin last week. They face off on Saturday in Oxford. It's an 11 a.m. game, obviously, and Ole Miss is about a six and a half point favorite, maybe even up to seven, depending on you know, where you're looking. What are your thoughts on this one? Where do you start?
Well, okay, so first of all, you look at what happened to Arkansas and Ole Miss last week, and I know people are just going to roll their eyes when I say this because there's no moral victories in sports, but Ole Miss showed a hell of a lot more in the second half, scoring 21 points than Arkansas did. I mean, I know that doesn't – you know, you still got blown out and people are going to roll their eyes, but it's a lot different losing 37-0 than 42-21. I think I was proud of the Rebel effort in the second half, even if it was in defeat. This Arkansas-Ole Miss, I mean, I'm still battle-scarred like all Ole Miss fans with this series. This series is so crazy. It was fall of my freshman year in 2001 was a seven overtime game, and then I was back in the stands on the 50-yard line in 2015 when Hunter Henry threw the ball behind his head that cost Ole Miss really a great shot at an SEC championship. And so I feel like I'm scarred for life from those two games. This series is always just kind of like insane and bonkers. Ole Miss has struggled in Fayetteville really, really bad. And in Oxford, they can win. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think Ole Miss is the better team. I think Ole Miss has a lot more firepower. I know it's weird to say. I think Ole Miss's run defense certainly didn't look great last week, but I don't think it's as horrible as people think either. I mean, I know last week they were getting 5-7 a clip, but they weren't busting super long ones. But, you know, Arkansas is going to come in. They're going to be physical at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I'm hesitant to lay six just because I know how wild this series is and how crazy these games are. And also, I don't love the 11 a.m. kickoff. Students, I'm challenging all y'all if y'all see this and watch this. And I've been getting great feedback on the segment. Y'all get up, get your asses out to the Grove at 8 a.m. Whatever's going on Friday night ain't as important as this football game when you look at how big this one is for Ole Miss. And we as Ole Miss fans, we need y'all loud in the stands, just raising hell for the whole four quarters for this one. Because, you know, when you look at the big picture, Ole Miss, like, yeah, last week was disappointing. We're all disappointed. Lane Kiffin's only in his second year here. And he inherited a program that had 2 years NCAA sanctions. This looked like a pretty – you know, not a complete rebuild because there was talent on the roster, but, you know, Ole Miss didn't expect to be top 15 in the early part of year two. Yeah, we got our butts kicked at Alabama. So do a lot of people. This season still has so much left. You win 8-9 games, and this game at home is must win and so key. And so I really hope everybody's out there raising hell on Saturday.
You know, it's interesting because it is going to be interesting to see which coaching staff was able to sort of flush it, right? I mean, you know, if you're Ole Miss, you're bitterly disappointed because I think I truly believe they walked into that stadium on Saturday believing they had a legitimate shot to win, and I think they thought they were going to win. Here's what's interesting to me is I don't believe that Arkansas walked into Athens feeling that way. I think Arkansas went in there kind of knowing, hey, we're playing with a little Vegas term here, a little house money, but we're probably going to get smoked. And so, you know, and they pulled their starters late third quarter. They kind of moved on with life a little bit. I'm curious to see, because I agree with you. I think Ole Miss is the better team. I think Ole Miss can do more things offensively than Arkansas can. I think ultimately that's the difference. But I am really interested in just kind of the mentality a little bit, because I don't think Arkansas is going to have a bad hangover, because I think they just sort of accepted it quicker. I'm a little worried about whether Ole Miss can kind of, as you mentioned, it's an early kick time. You wake up, you go play. Can you put that behind you and move on, you know, quickly? Because otherwise, it is the kind of game that if it starts off as a slugfest a little bit, where they're just kind of punching each other, that's Arkansas's game. You know, I mean, Ole Miss's path to an easy win here is jump on Arkansas quickly, get them out of that running game, get mm-hmm. them doing things that they're not good at, that they're not comfortable doing. Ole Miss's path to, oh God, this thing is nerve-wracking, is the opposite of that. It's getting off to a slow start, and Arkansas controlling some clock and, moving the chains, getting a field goal here, a touchdown here, keeping it a 10-7 kind of game. That's why I want to get your thoughts on the kind of the over-under here. People are looking at like 66 or something, and a lot of people love the over, and I'm not sure.
I think Ole Miss – I know everybody loves taking Ole Miss overs so much because of – you know, how could you not? You look at Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral and high-flying offense, but they're inflated because of last year when Ole Miss couldn't stop anybody and had the 127th-ranked defense. These totals, I mean, you saw last week, 79.5. These Ole Miss totals are inflated because of last year, and this defense actually is a lot better. So I don't know. I'm a little hesitant on that. But the real thing that fascinates me in this matchup is last year Barry Odom's defense confused Matt Corral so much. We saw it. I mean, 6 turnovers. And I want to see what Jeff Lebby and Kiffin and Corral do as adjustments to that scheme that Odom threw at them last year. Because last year, we all know what happened out there. That was his worst game of the year, one of the worst games of his career. So I'm really curious to see, you know, how will Odom adjust? What kind of scheme Arkansas runs? Will they run the same thing? How does Ole Miss and the coordinator chess match is fascinating to me in this game.
I really want to see what Ole Miss's offensive line can do with Trey Williams and that defensive line at Arkansas. Mm. It's not as good as the one at Alabama. I mean, he stretched the imagination, but Williams is good, and he can create problems. And last week in Tuscaloosa, Corral simply had no time to throw the football, and there is no Elijah Moore right now. There's nobody that's stepping in and filling that spot, you know, the guy that everybody on the defense is completely panicked about. Where is 8? You know, where's 8? He's there. There's none of that. I mean, there's a little bit of that with Dontario Drummond, but it's not like Elijah where he's such a game breaker. So, you know, they do have to protect Corral this year a little bit better than perhaps they did a year ago, so that some things can work in that offense. None of that happened on Saturday. To me, that's the biggest concern from Tuscaloosa, was just how poorly the offensive line played.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, they missed Royce Freeman.
Royce Newman, sure.
Yeah, Royce Newman. I'm sorry I said that, because I'm friends with him. I know him. But they miss him. He's doing really well in Green Bay. And he stepped up really well for Aaron Rodgers. He's starting. He's doing well. I miss Royce Newman real bad. And I feel – I don't know. The front line guys are pretty solid, but the depth is still a question. You're right. They're going to get challenged this week big time by Arkansas. And, you know, Arkansas is always tough at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. I don't think this team's any different. And the thing about Arkansas, I know Sam Pittman's getting a lot of credit. You know, if we learn anything, look at LSU right now, Coach O. Pittman's in a similar spot in that, you know, he's kind of the leader, but he's not really an offensive or defensive guy. He's an O-line coach, he's the head coach. He's as good as his coordinators, and he's got unreal coordinators, Kendall Briles and Odom. Maybe one of the best combos in the country. And so, you know, Arkansas is extremely well coached. This, I like what you said. And that Ole Miss needs to jump out early here, because if this is a sluggish start and this is uneasy into the third quarter, that's not good, because we've seen how the series goes. So I hope Ole Miss flushes last week. I hope the stands are packed at 11 a.m. because historically these 11 a.m. home game at home field advantage, and that's not just an Ole Miss thing. It's just not – it's not great for everybody. So I think, like you said, the first – just establishing the tempo and early. If Ole Miss can jump them early, though, get Arkansas off track, they should be fine. But this is a tough one. I'm uneasy about it.
I'm curveball here a little bit. I wrote in my column on Saturday after the game that I thought Corral's Heisman hopes were basically dead after that. at first half hurts, not him. I thought actually the more you went back and watched it, I thought Matt played great. He just didn't have any help at all from anyone other than Henry Parrish a little bit. You're closer to this from an odds maker standpoint and that kind of thing. How much was Corral's Heisman hopes damaged on Saturday in Tuscaloosa?
I mean, they were hurt a lot, but they're nowhere near over really because nobody else has seized it. You know, right now you look around the country, you know, the preseason guys, I mean, Spencer Rattler is dead. DJ Uiagalelei is like 6 feet under.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Howell at North Carolina's lost two games already. So a lot of the big favorites, and, you know, you look at like Alabama, I know Bryce Young's one of the favorites, but I mean, Bama was balanced. You know, their defense held Ole Miss under 300. Brian Robinson ran for 170 yards and four touchdowns. Yeah, Bryce Young played good. He was 20 of 26 for 200 and something yards, but it wasn't like he had like this big Heisman performance.
Here's so what's interesting though, Ben, is that Young is going to get lots of opportunities on the big stage. So the challenge for Ole Miss, I mean, and really for Matt, it's not fair to Matt, but Ole Miss has to win Saturday to get back in position to play some stage games, if you will. Like, if you know, whoever loses this game, whether it's Ole Miss or Arkansas, they sort of exit stage right for a little while in terms of the polls and the publicity and that kind of thing. You know, an Ole Miss win, you go to Tennessee, if you win that. I mean, I think going into the season, everybody said, hey, 5-1 at the turn, getting ready for LSU, that's the goal. That's why this one's so big. And, you know, it's baffling that they played as poorly as they did in the first half, especially against Alabama, and really the first 2.5 quarters. It was 35-7, and then from that point, Ole Miss kind of controlled the game. But I hesitate to make much out of stuff like that. It's 35-7. Alabama knows that.
Oh, I know. But I guess part of it was Dave Portnoy bet Ole Miss huge on the live line at 22.5. And so that backdoor cover, you know, it may not mean much to many, but it does to me because sure. What my day-to-day at work's like. So that I wasn't upset about that. But, no, I know what you mean. I'm more guilty than most as looking at the glasses half full, and I'm kind of on the annoyingly positive side sometimes.
Well, that's probably a good way to be.
I think it's a good life outlook.
I'm sometimes on the other side of that. I look at it and go, I don't know, I'm pretty negative, and sometimes that drives me crazy. Drives other people crazy for sure. I want to jump around a little because LSU plays Kentucky. It's a big opportunity for Kentucky, et cetera, et cetera. But the story that's becoming obvious is that Ed Orgeron's days are numbered. He's not going to get past this season. And how far he gets into this season, I don't know. Normally we talk to you about lines and that kind of thing. So I'll get your thoughts on the line in a minute, LSU plus 3.5 at Kentucky. But the bigger story is, where do you see LSU going after this season? What are you hearing from people down there?
Well, I'm hearing there's a lot. My sources down there are saying there's a lot more smoke on O right now than people even realize. And you mentioned him not getting through the season. I think that's way more of a possibility than people realize.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, everybody's seeing the on-the-field stuff. There's a lot behind the scenes. You know, they had the sexual assault stuff out against him. You know, I feel like O's kind of – you know, he's had some stuff too. And so I think that not just is it on the field, there's other stuff going on. And, look, the thing with Coach O is, I mean, he's a defensive line coach. He's a head coach. He's only as good as his coordinators. And when he inherited Dave Aranda, who's doing an awesome job at Baylor as head coach, is one of the best, and he hit lightning on Joe Brady. Every other coordinator hire he's made, Matt Canada, Scott Linehan, now you got Jake Peets, Bo Pelini was a disaster. You know, jury's out on Durante Jones. You know, they had a defense that was playing a little better. But he's made, you know, he's basically made like 7 coordinator hires and he's hit once. You know, and that's the thing. He's playing musical chairs with the coordinator thing. And, you know, yeah, when he's got Joe Brady, who's one of the best OCs in the NFL now, and he's got Dave Aranda, of course, they're really good because he still recruits and there's a ton of talent. But, you know, that's a dicey thing to have to rely on hitting all your coordinator hires year after year. And so, and the other thing is Scott Woodward, their AD now, hired Jimbo at A&M. And Woodward's been there for a couple of years, but he didn't hire Coach O. And Woodward's got a ton of power down there. LSU had to give him heaps to get him away from A&M. The only reason they got him is because he was a Baton Rouge guy and an LSU guy. So I think change is coming. I think it's coming quick. It's going to be very interesting. One name I've heard a lot about behind the scenes is that, you know, Billy Napier turned down Auburn. He turned down Mississippi State. He turned down South Carolina. He's at Lafayette. You know, he's an old Saban assistant. There's some people down there, some power guys down there that want him at LSU. I know LSU fans kind of roll their eyes at that, thinking, you know, we're such a big job. Why are we hiring ULF yet, coach? But he's somebody I'd keep an eye on because I couldn't believe he turned down those SEC jobs. And so maybe it makes sense if he gets this one.
Yeah, I hear his name. I hear Bill O'Brien's name. I even hear Jimbo's name, although that would be really complicated at this point, the whole Texas A&M thing. And I don't know that Jimbo's positioning himself to not be anywhere near as hot of a commodity if he wanted to be. That Texas A&M thing's kind of falling apart. Does Kentucky beat LSU Saturday?
Man, I think it's going to be a close, like, you know, Florida-Kentucky was similar to this. I think this is like a 2017-23-20. You know, I don't know. I hadn't looked at the over-under yet, but I don't see this being that high scoring. Look, you can't take LSU right now, and I had them against Auburn and got burned. Their offensive line, I mean, it sucks. I mean, it's one of the worst. They ran the ball. They're up 19-10 in the third against Auburn. All they need to do is get a couple first downs. They go three and out, three possessions in a row, and they ran the ball for 26 yards in the game.
Yeah.
They are, I believe they're bottom three or four in the country in rushing.
You know, I tell people this, Ben, we do this deal with LSU, and I know where it comes from. It's recruiting rankings, and I work for Rivals, and Rivals is as guilty as anybody about it. I don't want to hang myself here, but I'm starting to think I know sometimes what happens a little bit, and it's human nature, and I get it. But they're a decidedly average team, and yeah, they have some real talent. Derek Stingley, but he's out.
Yeah,
you know,
Boutte's unreal.
Boutte's a stud. He's a stud. Boutte and Burks at Arkansas are game changing wide receivers. There's no question about that. And Boutte, I think, is the best of the group. He's phenomenal. But they don't. They're not dominant up front on either side of the ball. They don't do what Georgia does to you. What Alabama can do to you. They don't possess those sorts of athletes, and they usually do, LSU does, and they don't now. And frankly, it's a reflection on Ed. I mean, it's his program, and it's where it is. And I don't know that you can consistently get kids to want to play, you know, that in that environment. I'm like you. I hear a lot of Title IX stuff still behind the scenes, and there's just a lot there. And I think it's chaotic in the background.
I really hope, I hate to even say this on an Ole Miss show, but there's a lot of people who want Kiffin down there too. And I don't even want to even think about that. But I feel like if they're really worried about the, you know, I don't know. I feel like they may, it depends on how bad this off-field stuff is, but you know, I don't know. I would obviously, that's the last thing I even want to think about right now.
Yeah, I had someone down there tell me the two names that he hears the most are O'Brien and Kiffin. But, you know, like he said at the time, and this was last week, he said September. It's early. It's really early. And, you know.
I think the Kiffin thing, too, I want to say has a lot to – I don't know. They're keeping this Arch Manning thing so close to the vest. It's hard to read anything. But I feel like Kiffin's Ole Miss tenure, like if Arch is coming, hopefully, knock on wood, I feel like Kiffin will stay for that, would be my instincts.
Yeah, we could do a whole segment on
that. Yeah, anyway, we regardless, I shouldn't have gone down this road.
We could do that. I think the problem is that Lane Kiffin's not going to know one way or the other. Look, as of this moment, I don't think Lane Kiffin's a serious candidate at LSU. Let me say that. I think there's some interest down there. There's some booster interest. I think there's some concern, too, and all that. So I don't think that, but you know, the problem that any coach would have in regards to that is that you're not going to know in December when you have to make this decision, you're not going to know where Arch Manning's going to school, because he's going to keep his cards close to the vest until March or April or whenever he makes a decision. Where else did I want to go? I wanted to get your thoughts on. Are you putting any stock into the way Tennessee's playing, or is this Tennessee just benefiting from some spots on the schedule?
I feel like the offense is – Heupel's doing a good job. I mean, they're moving the ball better than I thought. I was shocked. I mean, that was a great – that was the best performance from Tennessee football in years in Columbia. So, you know, I don't know. Now, Missouri's a hard team to read. They're really flaky week to week. But that still was a strong showing. I mean, they came out and scored with like 42 points the first half or something. I mean, it was pretty impressive. So they've improved, and you know, Heupel, the thing about Heupel, at least they have an exciting program. Like he's an offensive guy, you know, fans enjoy that. You know, when you're going to be mediocre, don't do it with Pruitt or Will Muschamp and try to win 17-13 because it bores fans to death. You know, if you play that style, you better win. And I don't know, though. I still am not willing to say they're, like, good or anything, but I am surprised. I mean, they're not as horrible as I expected.
Any chance Auburn stays within the number with Georgia? It's 14.5?
There's always a chance, yeah. I mean, especially at Auburn. I mean, this is Auburn's got – I say this all the time. I mean, I've been to – I hadn't been to every SEC stadium, but I've been to most of them. I think Auburn's the most underrated of all of them. I really do. I think it gets – they have a rowdy, underrated fan base. It gets loud in there. And I could see this game, Auburn's defense keeping them in it. I don't know if they can win it or anything, but I feel like this could end up being like a low-scoring slugfest 24-13 type game, 24-14, where Auburn's defense plays real, real hard and keeps them in it. I mean, yeah, I would lean Auburn in the points, I think. I don't know if they can win. Bo Nix looked like Johnny Manziel running around in Death Valley last week. That was a wild performance, but he's gonna have to pull some serious stuff off to have a chance in this one. But I don't know. I'd lean Auburn in the points here. I really would. I think everybody, you know, it's one of those things. How can you go against Georgia after how good they looked last week? But
all right, one big national game, and I'll just let you. I'll hand the floor to you on some games that you might like, college and pro. But Penn State and Iowa, the Big Ten showdown in Iowa City. Penn State's a 3-point dog. 3 o'clock game is going to be crazy in Iowa. They've really played well of late. So has Penn State. You got any thoughts here?
Man, slugfest, close game. You know how these Big Ten games go. I mean, somebody's going to win it 20-17 or 17-14. I mean, there's no way I'd bet over, even though the total isn't high. Both defenses look great. I thought Iowa was going to get beat at Maryland last week, and then they won by 50. So, I mean, I couldn't have been more wrong about that one. I'll say this. I'd lean Iowa here. It's hard to win up at Kinnick Stadium, man. That is a tough home field. It seems like offenses just go there to die, and they do that year after year. So, I mean, I'd lean the home team in this one. Also, Penn State is playing well, but Clifford, quarterback, I mean, he can move a little bit, but he's not a very good passer. I've seen him play a lot, and I'm not really that impressed. So,
Matt Iowa's secondary is sneaky good, man.
Oh, what they did to Tua's little brother. I mean, Maryland has a strong, strong passing game, and they confused him. And, I mean, all the turnovers, that was very, very impressive last week. So, I mean, I think I'd lean Iowa here. To be transparent on it, I mean, I've glanced at the games, but I'm out here in Vegas doing this World Series of Poker stuff so heavy right now. I hadn't quite – like, I've glanced at it, but I hadn't really – we're taping this Wednesday early afternoon. I hadn't not all the way there yet.
But we'll leave it there then. How's the gambling going? How's the
poker? Man, it's going great. Honestly, I'm getting a ton – so we've got a really funny dynamic going here. Dave Portnoy – went nuts on the Portnoy show this week about Nate, Marcel Nate, who I do the Kraken Aces Poker Podcast with, and he said he only let us go to Vegas this year to prove that WSOP isn't relevant. Well, it is relevant, and he's wrong. And this is – you know what else he said wasn't relevant 3 months ago? College baseball, when I started all that. He laughed at me and said, I'm glad 8 people care about this when I came down there for LSU Ole Miss and went to Ole Miss State and Starkville. I mean, he laughed in my face about that on the rundown. And we proved him wrong once, and we're going to have to do it again, you know? And so we've got a funny dynamic going here. But, I mean, I've played 3 World Series events in cash twice. And I thought, you know, I told you last week on here that I was going in with low expectations, trying to knock rust off my game. But my game's sharp. It's like the riding a bike thing. I'm back in here. I'm feeling good. I cashed for $1,300 on Monday and like $2,000 yesterday in a $1,000 event. Tomorrow on Thursday, I'm playing a $1,500 event, and then I'm playing a huge $1,500 this weekend. They're letting me stay out here till early next week. And I mean, I'm getting a lot of support on my social media. I'm doing videos and interviews. I don't know. I'm just firing the kitchen sink at this thing, but people are feeling it. And it's all about catching fire on social media with Barstool. And it's, you know, I'm rocking the Ole Miss cap every day at the table, obviously. And I feel great about it. The main event's not till November 5th. I'm going to take a second trip back. But, you know, overall, I couldn't really feel better a few days in. But, you know, obviously, ask an Ole Miss fans, if you like poker, please support this, because Dave's all over us on this Kraken Aces, the podcast, and just like all my blogs and stuff.
Hey, man, as always, appreciate you giving us some of your time. Good luck the rest of the stay out there in Vegas. And we'll talk to you next week about Ole Miss, Tennessee, and whatever else is
on. Yeah, by the way, I'm not sure on that. So there are rumors that the college football Barstool show is going to be in Knoxville next week.
Oh, how about that?
Tennessee. They haven't told me if I would be going or not yet. So I don't know. I feel like I mean, I hope I would with it being Ole Miss, but I feel like the way Barstool works, they might tell me like an hour before they leave Saturday morning. You just don't really know. But they are going to be there, and I think I'm going to try to get Lane for some Barstool stuff next week. So excited about that. Thank you so much, as always, for having me, and I'm about to go ahead to the Rio and fire some more poker.
All right, my man. Good luck to you. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
That was Ben Mintz with Barstool Sports. You'll see, I'll play that interview again at the tail end of the MPW Digital pregame show, which will be up either late tonight or early tomorrow, one or the other. We'll have a soft verbal podcast later today. That's brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area and Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet, and Flowood is next to Half Shell. You can also go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day with the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. We'll also have a Mind on My Money later today as well. That's brought to you by Pinnacle. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com. Pinnacle will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. Again, mypinwealth.com. If you want to go to Vegas, go see the World Series of Poker, or plan a Christmas trip or something for next year, get in touch with John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso, worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits, simply not available to other travelers. Just get in touch with John, tell him what you're planning, what you're thinking about. He'll give you tons of options that creates a special trip that's a lifetime of unique memories. 901-494-3387, or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off the first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Johnston Hill Creamery. If you hurry today, really even into tomorrow morning, you can get some catering right there to your spot in the Grove or your tailgating there on campus. Johnston Hill Creamery, located just off Molly Bar. Head in and see all the different options they have. Obviously, charcuterie trays, artisanal cheese trays, plenty of desserts and sandwiches, everything from buttermilk hand pies to blackberry cheesecake bars, and much more. Spicy feta dip, cheesecake dip, pepper jelly, spiced honey, whatever you would like, you can get that there at Johnston Hill Creamery. Again, you can email cheese@johnstonhillcreamery.com or give them a call at 662-419-9201 and reserve whatever needs to be delivered right to you there on game day or any day with Johnston Hill Creamery. Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs, G&M on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. You don't even have to head in, but if you do, they offer MedSync to fill your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you, whether it's one trip to the pharmacy or one delivery. You have what you need when you need it there with G&M. So again, it's on South Lamar, 662-236-2222. Now, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The next segment here on the podcast, we'll go to him now on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline.
My old colleague in Mobile, Tom Murphy, covers Arkansas, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Been there for, how the hell have you been there, Tom? About as long as I've been here, right? 15, 16, 17 years?
I think so. I started here in 2007, which was Houston Nutt's final season, and then led into the drama that became Bobby Petrino and so on.
You got Houston Nutt's final season. I got his first season here. So, yeah, we probably could tell some Houston Nutt stories. I don't know. He might still like you. I don't know. I don't think he likes me much. Although, by the end, I don't think it mattered. Actually, the final little interaction we had, I think it was begrudging respect on his part that I was just – I think he realized I was just doing my job, asking questions.
Yeah. Well, Houston's really good to us. Anytime we need to do a historical story or whatever from his 10 years here, he's always returns the call. And there's a couple times he got frustrated with me, but there's a lot more open interviewing and access back then.
Boy, isn't it the truth? I mean, you think about that, and we won't spend much time on this, but when Houston Nutt was at Ole Miss, Tom, we got him on Monday for his press conference. Got him on Tuesday after practice, Wednesday after practice, Thursday after practice, obviously Saturday after games, and a couple of years he had a little Sunday afternoon teleconference.
you'd get to Thursday, you look at him, and it'd be like, so what's your favorite color? You know, it was just, there was nothing to ask. And now it's just a totally different world in terms of what you're able to ascertain and get. And it's a totally different reporting world. I think our jobs are completely different. It's just kind of fascinating how it changes.
It really is.
Let's talk about Arkansas. I'm off to a 4-1 start. If I told you that they'd be 4-1, ranked 13th in the country, heading to Oxford first weekend in October, would you have bought it?
If I'm Sam Pittman, I think I would have, or an Arkansas fan, and I would have said that they would lose at Georgia and that somehow or the other they would have knocked off the 9-year streak against Texas A&M and would have beaten Texas. But not only did they win those games, but they physically dominated Texas and ran for 333 yards. And so, you know, Sam had some, like, signature-type wins last year, including Ole Miss. But this Texas game was, like, the next chapter of, okay, this is the direction they're going. And then A&M, I mean, Mississippi State beat them last week. So, you know, they have some issues, and it's still very potent with Spiller and the run game and A-Chain. But Arkansas just kind of did the same, just, you know, kind of physically hung in there against those guys and could have had a bigger lead too. But, you know, it's the Georgia game. I'm not going to call it an outlier. I mean, they got physically whipped by Georgia. And so I think it's an eye opener for Sam in like, okay, here's the standard we have to get to, and here's where we are. We got a big gap to make up.
I'm curious here. You covered Alabama for a long time. You've covered Arkansas for a long time. You've seen this league as long as I have, if not longer. Where does that Georgia defense rank among great defenses that you've seen?
Oh, they're very good. They're so fast and just instinctive. The linebackers were in on everything. The defensive linemen are all very agile. And they put pressure on Arkansas kind of on every snap. And the DBs are also good, and they're pretty sure tacklers as well. I kind of went into last week thinking, well, they haven't seen a real top-notch offense yet. And now it turns out that South Carolina's 13 points might be the standard to try to beat with those guys. I mean, they've got some tough games coming down the road. And Arkansas just didn't hang in the trenches with them. They had a couple of big plays. They had 101 yards worth of penalties in that game. So they just from the start of the game, two false starts on their first offensive possession, and just the crowd took them out. And honestly, I felt like there would be some of that in the opener, in their road opener, but not to that extent. So now it makes me wonder if they're still going to have issues against Ole Miss on Saturday.
So let's talk about the Arkansas offense, because I've watched them a good bit this year, and like you said, they want to run the football, and there's a, you know, a knock on Jefferson that he's this one-dimensional quarterback, and oftentimes he seems to be that, but he's made some throws. He didn't have any success against Georgia. How much of that was just because of how talented Georgia is, the way that the game's set up, and then how much of it might have to do with the fact that Jefferson might still be feeling that hit that he took against Texas A&M in the early part of the third quarter?
Yeah, that's a good question. They did not want to run him as much last week, but yet he still had a 14-yard run, and he had a 31-yarder that was called back with some holding downfield. But he's still developing as a passer. The Missouri game last year, he was dropping balls in, deep balls, to Burks and the other receivers, and he just hasn't done that as much this season. The Georgia Southern game, he had a 60-yarder to Warren Thompson, the Florida State transfer. But there hasn't been a large level of consistency on the deep passes yet. So he's a very much a dual threat. He reads and he can give to the back. And they had really good success at cutting back, going the opposite side of the ball, opposite side of the flow against Texas. And KJ keeps the ball and he's gotten probably a dozen or more 10-yard runs this year or close to it. And Trenton Burks has been the only real dangerous receiver. Tyson Morse has caught some deep balls as well, but they're still trying to fill out the receiver core with guys like Davion Warren, who had a big season last year before he was hurt, and still waiting for some other guys to rise up.
You know, so much was made last year in the Ole Miss Arkansas game there in Fayetteville when Matt Corral threw the six interceptions and Arkansas dropped eight. All the Ole Miss guys will tell you it was the first time they'd seen that, and they did not adjust to it, and Barry Odom had a great plan. Everyone's kind of done that to Ole Miss since then with lesser degrees of success, certainly. Do you anticipate on Saturday that it's kind of more of the same from Barry Odom, or do you think he mixes it up a little bit? I mean, and then just kind of, you know, I look at this Arkansas team and you see Catalan on the back end, who I think is as good a safety as there is in the league, and Williams on the edge is a guy that Ole Miss has talked a lot about this week. He has bothered just about everybody that he played, including Georgia, frankly. And then they've got those linebackers that have been there forever, Poole and Morgan and those guys. When you look at just the matchup defense to offense and the strategy involved going against Matt Corral a second time, what do you sort of anticipate?
Well, you'd be silly if you didn't do the drop eight some because it was so successful. But Sam Pittman said on Monday they've got to have other things they're going to do. I'm sure – I think back to what Matt Corral said at SEC Media Days, which was if you go back and look at it on film, there were guys open, but he just wasn't – He hadn't seen the scheme, so what he was looking at and what he should have been looking at were kind of different things. And so he'll be more in the flow of, all right, that's not open. I'm going to look over here, and it could be check downs. I mean, it could be tied in. I'm not sure where he'll be needing to look, but there will be some pockets, and he has to just be patient. KJ Costello last year struggled against the same look, and he wasn't patient. He took chances, and they picked Mississippi State three times. So I'm sure Lane Kiffin is sharp enough guy and Levy and Corral to put something together that will compete against the drop eight, the umbrella coverages, and then anything that any adjustments Arkansas might have. But they've been much better at kind of getting teams out of the run game, except for Georgia this season. Really did a good job against Texas with a great game plan. So I think that's probably the most fascinating part of this game to me is how Arkansas plays defense and what Ole Miss's answers are.
Yeah, I do too, because I think Ole Miss is a completely different kind of offense. We're starting to see that. And, you know, it's funny. It's you watch Arkansas and Georgia, and you have to be careful not to try to take too much of that, too much away from that, because Georgia's so talented. And it's the same way with Alabama with Ole Miss. It's 35-7 midway through the third quarter, and you go, oh, boy, Ole Miss might not be anything resembling what we kind of thought they would be, and that's certainly possible. And it's also possible that it's just Alabama's that good, you know, that you have to be careful that you don't draw too many conclusions. I'm curious to see whether, you know, last year so much of Ole Miss's offense was built around Kenny Yeboah and obviously Elijah Moore, and they're both gone. And while they have weapons, Dontario Drummond and Braylon Sanders, they've lost Mingo, I suspect, for the season. Lane Kiffin doesn't talk about injuries, but he's not playing Saturday. And, you know, they don't have that one receiver on the field that Elijah Moore was a year ago that you saw defenses trying to account for throughout the game. You know, I'm curious to see whether the Ole Miss can protect enough to give Corral time to go through his progressions. He had no time in Tuscaloosa. And if Arkansas can put pressure with their front three, it's going to be a complicated game for Corral.
I don't know, Neil. I just think that based on the composure he showed last week, I see that what Arkansas does is not, you know, I don't think it's going to shake him off of his game much, even if he throws a pick or two. And by the way, he's got a nice streak of 180 of passes without an interception going right now. And
exceptional, yeah.
Yeah, that stands for something. And the way he performed against – you heard Lane Kiffin say it this week. How he played against Alabama was not that bad. So I know this game's going to mean a lot to him. And so I think we're going to see Matt Corral's best, and the Razorbacks better show up. I also think he's going to be complimented by a run game that Ely had 100 yards on Arkansas last year. The run game was very productive on Arkansas last year. They just had seven turnovers, and they lost the ball on the one-yard line to start both halves. Their first drives went to the one. I mean, you take away just a few of those things, and it's a different score.
Yeah, completely. Do you anticipate Arkansas trying to kind of emulate a little bit of what Alabama did last week, but just running the football with you know, Robinson, and I think he ran for 172, 173, whatever it was, four touchdowns. I mean, they were able to really get chunks when they needed it against an Ole Miss defense that wants to play 5 and 6 defensive backs on the field.
Yeah, and it's the same quandary Arkansas had last week. Really couldn't slow the Georgia run game. So I do believe if Arkansas can get away with it, they'll stay on the ground. And that's what they did against Texas. And if they can move the chains doing that and control the ball, and that's the kind of thing that sometimes can frustrate these up-tempo teams. And so they've been able to play tempo football this year on offense, and they've been able to kill the clock on a couple of games, Texas and A&M included, that has been actually kind of impressive. And I love their selection of running back. Traylon Smith is a great top running back, and Rocket Sanders is really coming on as the backup. And they got A.J. Green, who caught the touchdown against A&M, and Dominic Johnson, who scored rushing touchdowns the first three games. So if they can get moving up front and get the running game in gear, I fully expect them. They wouldn't care if the game's, you know, 24-20, something like that. They don't care.
Sam Pittman's starting to get some attention from the media and that kind of thing. They're obviously ranked. People talked about them. They were in Arkansas and Georgia last week for game day and all of that stuff. What's his kind of ceiling? What's that? How do you sort of see the trajectory of that program? Not necessarily this game Saturday, but where the program is going.
Well, what I think is neat about it is there really isn't a blueprint for a guy. Think back, Neil. When's the last time you saw a career assistant, 20-something years, and he's an offensive line coach, gets his chance? And it's just really been remarkable that they went from 19 or 20 consecutive SEC losses to now being respectable. I mean, for them to have been in the top 10 last week, you almost shake your head and go, how do they do this? So he wants to retire here. I'm sure he's going to get a tidy raise after the season. I think if he's able to retain Barry Odom and Kendall Briles, those guys will get raises. You know, you want to finish the season winning some more games, but what they've done this year, to me, commands a raise. And he's got a retirement place down in Hot Springs. He loves the state. I mean, he doesn't have to buy a meal anywhere he goes in this state. So he's fun to cover. He's pretty open and honest. The way he described what happened to them at Georgia last week, I just find it refreshing that, you know, we weren't ready for the prime time. We were not ready for that grand of a stage. He just admitted it.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to experience that, you know, before you can make the next step. And the next time you play in one of those games, it's kind of like the NBA thing. It was back in the day, an NBA team had to experience failure on the big stage before you could experience success. I mean, even Jordan, you know, failed in the Piston stuff before they finally overcame that and beat the Lakers and won a title, and you know the rest of that. Speaking of professional sports and titles, your Braves, can they get it done? Tom's a lifelong Braves fan, loves the Atlanta Braves. But can they get it done this year?
Man, I there's too many good teams in front of them. Like the Giants and Dodgers, they're going to be tough. Whoever comes out. I mean, if the Dodgers can get past the Cardinals tonight. You know, Neil, I heard the other day that since the divisions were split up, and I guess it was 69, that the Braves' 23 division titles were two more than the Dodgers and Yankees. And when you think about long-term and what franchises have done, I mean, that's a wonderful feeling. But when you only have one World Series title, it's the same as your Cubs, Neil, in the same amount of time. And you don't have 23 division titles.
No, we do not have 23. You have like, what, seven, maybe six, seven? Like that. It's yes. It's hard to – man, what you realize after your team wins a World Series and then they struggle and fall off is how freaking hard it is to win a World Series, and you go, thank God we won the one, right? I mean
– that's right.
It would just be so frustrating. I mean, I go back sometimes and Carson, my son, was in the car with me the other day. We were listening to a Giants game or something, and he said, man, the Giants almost beat us in 2016, didn't they? And I was like, yeah, it kind of got close there for a minute. And you think, you almost have like an angina attack, and you think, had that happened, you know, where would it have gone from there? And I mean, it would be devastating. All right, what's kind of your thought Saturday? I don't know if you are allowed to pick or tell you who you think's going to win. How do you sort of see this game shaking out?
I'll answer that. But, you know, with the Braves, we had our chances with the Dodgers last year, 3-1. We should have won it. And I will tell you, when you're a Falcons fan too, the way they lost that Super Bowl, I don't know. No team has ever lost one like that. You don't ever get over it. And as a Falcons fan, you also don't think that you can ever get back to the Super Bowl again because it's so hard to do. And to have blown a lead 28-3 is just crushing. They might not ever win a Super Bowl, but
it was the Cubs in 03. I mean, when they had that 3-1 lead over the Marlins and then blew it. And then the whole Bartman thing and then the double play ground ball. And then they had a lead in game 7. And I think I got over it in 2016 when they won the World Series, but sometimes that'll still come up and I'll look at it and I still feel something. I mean, it's, when it's close like that, I'd rather just get mauled. I'd rather lose the baseball equivalent of 37-0 or 42-21 than I would lose like that. That's brutal.
Yeah, I have not put a lot of thought actually to how I think the game's going to play out or who's going to win it. I think it's going to be a close game, and I think because of the nature of these two programs, I think some kind of great drama is in store for us on Saturday. As you think back to all the freakish endings, home games and away games for both of these, they put up some titanic games. And I'm not going to rub any salt in any wounds, but Arkansas has won some games over there in recent years. I just think Ole Miss is really, really pointed to this game. So I think, what is it, a 4.5-point spread? That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, I've actually got it at 6 as I sit here and look at it.
Oh, it's moved up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds about right to me. I think they've put a lot into this game. They're planning and, their emotional investment. I think it's going to be hard for Arkansas to overcome that. The way they do it is to establish the run and maybe do like they did against Texas and just kind of control the game with their running attack. So I just think it's going to be a great game.
Tom, always thanks for the time. Really good catching up with you, my man.
Sounds good, Neil. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
That was Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Kind of spend some time with us. We had picks earlier in the show. Picks at rebelgrove.com are brought to you by Service Specialist with offices in Ridgeland, Canton, Jackson, and Oxford. Service Specialist has been connecting candidates and employers since 1967 as the oldest staffing company in Mississippi. Whether you're a new college grad or a seasoned professional, whether you're in engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, you should contact Service Specialist. If you're a recent grad without much experience, you should absolutely reach out to them. They're always looking for candidates that have potential and want to learn and get their foot in the door with growth opportunities. Mississippi's a small state. Service Specialist always knows about jobs that never get advertised. Prospective employers, you should be getting in touch with them too, because if you're looking to hire quality talent for your company, Service Specialist always has names and resumes ready for your perusal. 662-832-5138 or servicespecialistltd.com. Alpha Specialties is at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. They've got the Load Trail trailers, the Hallmark cargo trailers. They can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for you. They've got spare tires and wheels, a full selection of trailer parts and accessories, a full yearly trailer service and inspection shop, a full service shop where they can repair all types of trailers as well. 601-932-9798 or check them out at alphaofms.com. The new Collegiate Collection is in at The Rogue. Some really cool items. You saw Chance Campbell wearing one of those earlier this week at rebelgrove.com and MPW Digital. All of that's at The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, so many more other brands there at The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com. And we're brought to you by Joey Erickson, Heron Gear Autoplex. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevy, BMW, Lexus, and Infiniti, or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. 662-571-2367 or 1685 High Street in Jackson.
So appreciate Ben Mintz, appreciate Tom Murphy today on the show, and obviously Neil's picks, it's up on rebelgrove.com. So back tonight around 7 o'clock for Hand Raise Guys, and then obviously the pregame show sometime in the next 24 hours or so. So heading into Ole Miss and Arkansas, 11 o'clock Saturday from Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Hope all you guys hang out with us tonight. We'll talk to you again very soon.